it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and we've got some potentially good news for Drake London and Darnell Mooney. We'll get Raheem's take on their status in a moment. Well, let's talk about last night's game. Bears, Vikings. I'm not sure the Bears will forget seeing Justin Jefferson doing the gritty for quite some time.
How could any of us?
Seriously.
Forget?
Vikings had an incredible comeback to win over the Bears 27-24. It was really not looking like J.J. McCarthy's debut was panning out all that well until the fourth quarter. He threw for two touchdowns and ran for another. He completed 13 of 20 passes for 143 yards.
Honestly, it was pretty incredible to watch. Yeah. Having watched that first half, and I thought that the Bears were absolutely rolling and had some explosive runs, and Caleb Williams looked like he was settling in. And I was, you know, the Ben Johnson thing, Detroit struggled so bad, you know, yesterday or 2 days ago that I was like, man, maybe this guy really is an offensive guru, you know what I mean? And the way he's been able to put this together. And so watching Kevin O'Connell, you know, I know he talked to, you know, J.J. McCarthy at halftime. He's like, second half is going to be your time to fly, and we're going to turn things around. And absolutely they did. And it was pretty crazy to watch. I went from getting texts on my phones that are like, Falcons should smoke the Vikings. Hey, man, I'm so glad I bet the Bears, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden, like at the end, it was like crickets, like, oh, man, they're not as bad as we originally thought.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully – you know, you can get him uncomfortable early and keep him that way if you're the Falcons heading into next week.
Yeah, I mean, even still looking at his numbers, he's very pedestrian. But they got the win. That's all that matters. And, you know, they used him in the running game to score that one touchdown. The zone read type play. And Caleb Williams looked so much better in that first half for the most part. But, you know, it doesn't finish. I don't know. It's crazy because these are two first-round picks from last year going at it. And then when we play Sunday night, it'll be two first-round picks from last year going at it, you know, with McCarthy and Penix. So it's kind of crazy at how many quarterbacks are out there right now starting from last year's draft. And then you look at the one this year and there was nothing, right? I mean, it's hardly anything. It's just Cam Ward and – you know, that's pretty much it. So their defense is still good. They were able to get Caleb Williams on the ground a couple of times. And Jordan Mason, who got traded there, is kind of taken over as the leading rusher. So, look, there's a lot for the Falcons to look at. I do feel good, though, about what I think Ulbrich did. Like, I think if you look at what we did defensively and how we sent – when we sent blitzes and everything, J.J. McCarthy – I don't feel like we'll pick up on them the way Baker did. Yeah. And that, look, Baker, I've been saying that JJ's not, I think he's probably more mobile than Baker, with all due respect. That's really more of his game. But that said, Baker Mayfield is a pretty smart dude. He knows what he's seeing back there.
So basically, last night, you know, watching the game, it's kind of like a data dump for Raheem Morris. What is he and Falcons Co. do today now with all the information they have gathered last night, what they saw last night, what happens today?
What'd you say, a data dump? What is that?
A data dump. Like, they got a lot of data.
Yeah, that's
dump.
What I thought. It's a data dump. It's a data dump. Like, whoa.
That's like a Donnie Kroger type sentence.
I knew what you were saying, Allie.
Thank you.
I'm glad Bo was confused, too. It's like, yeah, a data dump. Let me think.
Well, they just inherited a lot of information.
Completely understand what you mean now.
What are they dumping?
Yeah. It's, and look, this is J.J. McCarthy's first start. There's going to be ups and downs, obviously, but he's got a lot of pieces around him to make him successful, and that's exactly what happened yesterday. I thought both these teams extremely underwhelming as far as third downs go, and I think that should excite Falcons fans looking at last night. If you're kind of lining yourself up with the Minnesota Vikings, I think both teams were 25%, which is not good. And, you know, the Falcons were at 40% this past weekend, which is not great. You know, Tampa was at 50, but 25% ain't going to get it done in the NFL. And that a lot of that has to do with quarterback play and being pressured and things like that, recognizing what you're looking at. So I think Raheem Morris, you dive into it, you break it down, you see what kind of, you know, what they want to be and what schematically they were trying to do to get there, and you try to, you know, put together a game plan to approach that the best way possible.
Yeah, both teams were 25% on third down, and but both these teams ran the ball for around 120 yards. However, I'm not taking away from that stat. That's not what I'm meaning, but the fact that Caleb Williams was the leading rusher, I don't know how I would feel about that. If I, in one hand, I like it because he was able to keep plays alive, showed his off schedule, you know, type. He's always been a player that really played better off schedule.
Yeah.
And one of the things you want to get him better at was playing on schedule. He did at times. But if I just love the fact that I ran DeAndre Swift 17 times and only accumulated 53 yards.
Yeah, it's, well, I would say this: if I had that line for Bijan's past weekend, I'd feel good about it.
Well,
you know what I mean. Like, I'd feel pretty good if Bijan's line was 17 for 53. And there was a couple of explosives tacked on to a couple of like tackles for loss. You know what I mean? It was like either feast or famine when it came to the run game for Chicago last night. I had my eyes on Drew Dahlman the whole time. Shocker! I'm like, I want to watch Drew Dahlman play.
How'd you think?
And it was okay. You know, it was growing to expect when he was here. Honestly. Contrasting that to what I saw from Ryan Newsel this morning, which we're going to get into at 7 o'clock, we miss him a lot more. Mm-hmm. I will say that much. Not good for Ryan Newsel. So watching Drew Dahlman kind of play and get those reps in, I thought he played pretty well. But, you know, on the whole, they've got a lot to fix in Chicago. And they have a lot to fix in Minnesota, too. Don't get me wrong, but they got a lot to fix in Chicago. That's not just going to be a small turnaround for them. They've got to get it done with Caleb Williams at quarterback.
Well, and two guys that we've been waiting to hear updates on regarding the Falcons are Darnell Mooney and Drake London after he went out in Sunday's game. And Raheem seems pretty positive about both.
I won't be able to confirm anything until Wednesday for those guys and what's happening as far as practice and how they're going to go. But Drake is a tough human. I feel good about it after talking to him. I just want to, you know, get some clarity and all that type of stuff before I enter the lead because he's going to hold it to me. Feel good about Mooney. We'll see more. He did warm up. He's been doing a lot of things that you guys have seen. So, like, that's just when I get a chance to sit down with all the guys and discuss it, our performance team, that happens tomorrow, and see where we're at there. We definitely got to do it tomorrow so we can get our planning going. So we'll see. I'll have more clarity tomorrow on that.
I'm curious to get Bo's take on this about how much better you feel going into this week if Drake London and Darnell Mooney are part of the game plan, because I feel immensely better, copious amounts of better,
right,
if you will, if both those guys are a part of this. And Drake is obviously the heartbeat of this offense. Darnell significantly changes the way you're able to approach the passing game.
I think Darnell just draws attention as far as that vertical passing game. I mean, he really put stress on the defense going downfield, and I didn't feel like you had that last week. Everyone's harking on this, the play with Hodge where he was interfered with at the end of the game. And, you know, some people are ignorant in their statements that he quit on the route, which is just a lack of understanding of either watch, you know, what you see or just not watching the game at all. Maybe had one too many drinks. I don't know. But he was knocked off his spot. Darnell Mooney immediately puts pressure on the defense, and I think it also helps Drake London as well. I personally think both are going to play. You know, from what Ross said about Drake, I know that he left the game, and he was in the locker room at the end of the game. I don't know if most people know that, which means he was getting checked out. That said, if Ross says that with optimism,
he's
right
a tough
there
human,
about Drake.
Said.
I think that makes me feel good. I always thought, remember last week I told you I didn't think Darnell would play week one, but I actually had high hopes for him playing week two, and nothing's changed for me.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. Look, we need – Mackel needs his full arsenal, right?
Yeah.
I mean
– No doubt about it.
Yeah, I think everyone feels better if you have a full repertoire out there.
Yeah.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And look, when I saw Drake on the sideline, and it's the classic. Anybody that's ever had one of these issues, when they start reaching under the shoulder pad and pressing with their finger, mm-hmm. and they're trying, what he's trying to do, he's trying to find, the trainer in that aspect is trying to find the end of your collarbone where it meets your shoulder, and he's trying to poke at that AC joint. And I mean, that's where shoulder separations happen. It's where AC sprains are going on. And you can just see anytime a trainer reaches up under that little first shoulder pad, he's like kind of poking around. And finally, you'll see like somebody grimace right when he gets to the AC joint. It's like, oh, there it is. And it's just one of those things that happens when, you know, when somebody falls on their shoulder and, you know, the shoulder separation thing, like I said, it's just one of those things that you deal with. And I'm with Raheem, though. Drake's one of the toughest dudes we have on this team. There's no doubt about it. I will say as well, and just to tack this on top, they asked him to do a lot of really tough run blocking in this game. And it's because he's good at it. But when you're asking Drake to come in and block defensive ends, I don't know how they change that in terms of how they approach that this weekend. They're going to have to make some changes to what they're asking of him in terms of physicality as they approach the run game against Minnesota.
Well, hopefully we do get those updates from Raheem, that Darnell and Drake will be playing. Coming up next, Tennessee will not be whole when they meet up with Georgia this weekend. Got a few starters on the IL. We'll get into it. And we've got my Allie Mack drop. And a reporter was using a burner account to defend her husband.
Yes.
We'll get into it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.